out, Film Bomb. Welcome to Film Vault, everyone. As Anderson, I'm Brian Bishop, we're your hosts. Today in the Film Vault, top five breakup scenes. Some funny, some not so funny. Whole mess of good breakup scenes. Anderson, what do we say?
What's that?
The entire time before the show started, all you would say is safe. You would not engage me in conversation.
I didn't want to talk to you.
Oh, so you actually had nothing to save?
No, there's plenty to save.
Okay.
So little to talk about in tonight's show, Bri.
Why?
Because listen to the topic. What was the topic again?
Top five breakup scenes.
Never in all my history, my years here on this here fine program, the Film Vault, have I been so lacking enthusiasm.
Really?
Holy shit, did I not care? I hope our listeners get
I didn't pick this topic, though. This came off a list of listener-suggested topics, right?
Now I feel terrible. I apologize to whoever suggested it.
I just thought I thought of some good scenes.
I'm going to paint the scene for the listener right now. Brian's kind of adjusting his microphone, down, saying, I thought it was fine. He literally grabbed the flag, the mic flag, and kind of adjusted it as though a sad businessman would his tie.
That's right.
If he was being fired.
After he lost a sale.
Ooh, that'd be a good one. Top five fired scenes where people get fired.
I'm in. Write down, Logan.
Here's my problem with the breakup scene. It's not my wheelhouse at all. I don't care about relationships in movies. Very few movies involve relationships as far as I'm concerned.
But it involves pain and bad things happening to good people.
I just thought of two more. God damn it. Swear to God. I mean, all week I've been
patchwork.
Going up to people and saying, talking to my mom the other day, any good breakups you could think of in movies, Mom? Because I'm a blank over here. Got nothing.
Wow.
So here, we're going to do something different.
Okay. You want my also-rans?
Right off the bat?
No, do you want them for your list?
I would like to hear them at the end of the program,
okay,
like we normally do, Bri.
I was going to give you some from for your list.
You're going to freak out because you're the type that does that when anything changes.
Okay.
For you brought in clips, so that means it's going to be a long show, kids.
That's a good point.
Likes to bring in a 6-minute clips.
Six?
Oh, yeah.
I'll find half clips.
Mm-hmm. Half clip. as an apology to the listener.
Why you apologize? Oh, for not? Okay.
We're going to do our Flick Fashion here in a minute. Spirit of Flick Fashion.
Sure.
Lots to talk about with that. And then for each of my picks, which I don't hold much value in, I'm going to have a bonus Flick Fashion.
Ooh.
So 8-1. I'm going to have 8 Flick Fashions I'm going to be talking about. The number one, the one I'm going to give as accompaniment to my number one breakup scene or whatever, is the best thing I've seen all week. Bar none.
Okay.
Best thing I've seen. Best thing being the operative word there.
Thing.
And I should also say that a very, very controversial number one on the breakup scenes.
Well, you do have 5 breakup scenes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was tough, but yeah, I got 5.
It was really tough.
It was tough.
I'm interested to see what you're
I'm excited to hear what you have to say, what the listeners have to say. This is one of those episodes where I hope you pick up the slack a little and I get to learn something.
Oh, shit. We're all in trouble then. Sorry, buddy.
Hey. Quick little, I don't like to say the word shout out because... too many people use that
shirt.
Sure. But went out with a true, actual listener of this here program last night.
How about that?
Don't want to say a fan, but a listener. Listener.
Is it a friend of yours? Or?
Joey Shanks.
Oh, I missed him.
And his fiance.
He was in town for the film festival.
Yeah. I invited him down. He's a listener. Very talented listener.
Oh,
he's got a
man.
Film in the film festival, LA Film Festival, called Sci-Fly. And I had
it's
him.
It's good. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh. And I had him come. He gave me the Blu-ray version last night. Took him out. We went out boozing last night, Brad.
Yeah.
It was a good time. He said that you did not return some of his emails.
That's messed up. I never got any emails.
He was going to make a puppet of you or something. He held up, you know, we're at a pool hall, and he held up a cue ball, and he says, "Yeah, I was going to make a puppet of Brian, and I was going to start with a cue ball as a head." And I'm like,
"That's
gold.
That's good. He is making a puppet of me, but I never got an email from him. I was expecting him to. I figured
this is
also
going south. We're out in the parking lot drinking last night. I'm like, I'll bring it up on the show, and you know what you're going to hear from him, Joey. You're going to hear him say, "Who's Joey?"
Aww.
I have no idea who that is. Because Brian thinks he's a big star.
Well, it's true.
That's what I told him.
But Joe is good people. I would not.
He and his lovely fiance, Kendall, that we had a good time and we boozed up. Now, while I was out with them at a bar, I was also sickened, worried, concerned at a trailer that I saw without sound, but a trailer I saw for Pacific Rim. And it looks like all of my worst worries are maybe getting confirmed here.
Really?
Looks like Godzilla from, you know, the Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
Right.
Looking a lot like that.
A good one.
And Transformers fucking. So it looks like a combo of those two movies.
Wow. And you're not in?
The newest trailer that I saw, I try and avoid, but I couldn't help it. It was on at a bar. I was drinking, and I was transfixed, and I was like, doesn't look good. I didn't hear the sound. Maybe it was good.
You know,
but it looked pretty corndog.
We'll talk about it more at the end of the episode in our gambling, but I heard I'm sure you heard it too, because it was on Loveline. I heard a commercial for World War Z, and the commercial was about how, like, the reviewers call it kick-ass, and it's, it rocks. And I'm like, well, I don't want to see it now. But I'm like, oh, they're advertising it to Bloodline listeners. Like, the, what I'm saying is they're advertising... There might be a bad spot. Doesn't mean it's going to be a bad movie.
Okay. Yeah, well, obviously, yes. But as you're seeing more of the creatures and whatnot, Pacific Rim, I don't know if I'm that impressed. Mm. Look like iguanas.
I still feel I have confidence in Willie Del Toro.
What?
Guillermo?
Guillermo. Don't call him Willie. You just learned about him. Listen, another quick little note here.
I was unaware.
As far as World War Z, which we'll be talking about probably next week. Probably.
Well, we're going to gamble on it this week, I assume.
It's PG-13, which, you know, obviously huge red flags.
There's
you're
no
not,
good PG-13.
You're not running away. The life as you know it is not coming to fruition, and there's fucking zombies with speed, massive amounts of speed, and bug-like concern for each other. They're, like, swarming. You're not going to be going, oh, heck, let's get out of here, jolly gee willikers. You're going to be saying, holy fuck, zombie apocalypse! You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if they just cut out literally the curse words and the blood, just the blood,
as a
then,
result,
could be a well-made movie.
The promos are like they're trying to flip it on its head. They're saying rated PG-13 for graphic violence and zombie natured exuberance. It's like, all right, sure. I'm not buying into
exuberance.
Your shit. I don't think that's verbatim. All right, so let's get to Flick Fashion.
Flick Fashion. I'm gonna go first if you don't mind. You assigned a film for me to see, Anderson. Remember what it was?
No.
Shushed.
Shushine. Oh, Shushine. You
Shushine.
Saw
Shushine.
Yeah, we'll stick with you.
It's a 1946 film, black and white, in Italian, directed by Vittorio De Sica, from the director of The Bicycle Thief.
It's on Instant right now. You can watch it. I recommend
it.
It was on top five coming-of-age films last week.
It was on top five coming-of-age films last week for you, Shushine from 1946.
It's a prison film.
Streaming on Netflix. It could also be considered a prison film. It could also be considered a buddy film in certain respects. Well, in most respects.
It's one of those movies that could show up on a lot of lists, as far as lists that we do here over at the Film Vault. With the top fives, it could show up on a number of lists.
Absolutely. This is the story of two young boys named Giuseppe and Pasquale who get sent to a juvenile detention facility after getting mixed up in the sale of some stolen goods. They end up in the
towels or blankets or something?
Some sort of blankets, American blankets.
Hey, I'll shine your shoes, sell you some blankets.
Yeah. And they are sent to jail, essentially. It's subtitled, which actually was kind of hard at first, because the Italians
what
talk so fat and don't listen to me. No, it was hard because, from a very technical standpoint, the Italians, especially the kids, talk so goddamn fast. Mm-hmm. It was hard to figure out who was saying what sometimes. Your eyes are darting up and down. We're trying to read the subtitles.
It's quick.
Yeah. But yeah, I figured it out after a while. But at first, it was like, whoa, who's talking? Seriously.
Did you like it? Could you recommend it?
I did like it. I can recommend it. It's the same inherent, not problem, it's the same inherent factor with all these old films, which is if that's not your thing and they bother you, the black and white and the pacing, actually for the pacing for a movie like this is actually kind of fast, then it's just not going to be your thing. But if you have an appreciation or a desire to learn more about classic films, I'm excited to see The Bicycle Thief after this.
Oh, you're going to like
also
that even
streaming.
More, I think.
Also streaming.
I think you may like that more.
I might.
I know I do.
There was almost a... I did like the... yes, you're right. It was funny. The kids have sort of like their adult Italian mannerisms. You know what I mean? With da-da-da-da.
They're like little tiny Joe Pescis.
They're little Goodfellas.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Gandolfini's not in Goodfellas, but... Rest in peace.
No longer with us.
Yeah, today that happened.
I will be.
You hear people dying all the time. Sorry to cut you off. Yeah. You hear people. The wife walks in from outside, and she's on her Twitter feed. And speaking of which, Vine. Have you even seen my Vine?
Yeah. Oh, we got to follow up about that. I got to know what it was.
I'm not going to talk about it here on this program.
Why?
There was a very violent Vine that I released.
You haven't talked about it at all.
I know.
I want
to
hear about
it. That's what the After Disaster is for. It's for me to tell about my violent escapades outside of this studio.
You made a film. This show's about film, and I want to know what it's about.
Well, it's not a film, Brian. It's a six-second clip. If you're not on Vine yet, it's time to get on Vine and check out my one of my most recent Vines, which involves me and a stranger, and he gets hold of my phone, and at one point my arm is in his car window, which he rolls up onto my arm, and I have bruises. And my arm was stuck in his window for a good 3 minutes, I'd say. I'll tell the whole fucking story on the After Disaster, not here. I promise I'll do it early, too. All right. So anyway,
okay.
Moving on. What was I saying?
I was saying.
So she walks in from outside.
Okay. Oh, yes.
And she says, Gandolfini's dead. Yeah. And I was like moved. I was shocked. And I was taken aback.
Mm.
Normally, I'm like, about time.
No, he's obese.
About whoever. But it sucks.
I agree.
It's terrible.
I feel bad for felt bad for James Gandolfini. And that
no longer.
He could never escape. He could never escape the Tony Soprano thing.
He checked out. He's like, see ya, family. pigeonholed as Tony Soprano?
No, I felt bad for his film career. I felt like it was always going to be Tony Soprano to the audience and to Hollywood.
No, I Zero Dark Thirty. I thought he was a very high level ranking official in that movie.
It's a decent point. I just saw one of his last films, and I'll be flick-festing it next week. Okay. But, yeah, got that impression. Anyway, Shoeshine, the ending, very, very bleak, almost obligatory in its bleakness. It reminded me of Das Boot, where it's like, we got to have a bleak ending. Got to whip it up. And it felt a little...
Wasn't that bleak. Come on.
It wasn't?
Nah. Okay. It wasn't like Return to Paradise bleak.
Okay, it wasn't Holy over shit. The top, but it was on the top.
Okay.
Flick-fashion number two. I liked Shoeshine.
Yeah,
go and see Shoeshine.
Hey, come get your Shoeshine. I really liked what happened with the relationship, and it was like simple stuff, but heart wrenching and really well acted. It was great. I like it.
Totally.
A lost treasure.
Bought it. Top five performances by young males, whatever it was, little boys, however we phrased.
Want to make it because more a collective group effort. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the two lead kids were good.
They were. They were great.
Either one of them could have made the list. I saw a movie that I did not like very much. I didn't hate it, but it was. Man of Steel, directed by Zack Snyder.
Okay, let's be careful here, all right? Because we have fucked up on this program in the past, recently, with talking about brand new movies, the big superhero movies where kids are literally feeling themselves at Comic-Con while hearing about and watching trailers. I mean, I do believe that some people are so into these movies that they're stimulated sexually. Okay. And Star Trek, as Logan likes to call it, is one of them.
That's right.
And we talked amongst ourselves about it and gave away major plot points that I'm still getting tweets about. Still.
Oh, so you're saying watch out for spoilers.
Careful.
Stuff.
I purposely did not see this thing because I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I wish I had done the same thing. Directed by Zack Snyder, director of 300, Watchmen, and Sucker Punch, starring Henry Cavill, Amy Adams. It's a big cast. Michael Shannon, Kevin Costner, Diane Lane, Russell Crowe is a big part, and Lawrence Fishburne, ironically, plays a man named White. This is sort of Superman Begins. It's sort of backstory. Origins, but it also cherry-picks a lot of the stuff from number one and number two back in the old Christopher Reeve days.
Before he fell off the horse. It's all that story.
Yes, everything happened up to the horse. The horse, by the way, plays a big role in Shoeshine.
That's true.
I was actually looking forward to this movie because...
You and like 90 million other
I agree, and I think I like Zack Snyder more than you do, but we can at least agree that whether or not you love his movies, there's always... It's, for me, anyway, in my mind, they're always interesting. There's always at least something going on. Sucker Punch, for example, I didn't think it was a very good movie, but at least it had some interesting ideas and a couple of good things to look at. It wasn't compelling cinema, but at least he turned a little bit of nothing into a little bit of something.
Okay.
Anyway, this movie, it's not bad. It's not good. It's just kind of...
I'm going to see it in a couple weeks, and I'll probably enjoy it quite a bit more than you did because I waited for the hype to like...
It's not good.
It's not
great. It's not bad.
Morbidly obese man today walking. I was walking out of a theater and I saw him and he doubled back because he was walking by the theater that was playing the 3D version of
right.
Man of Steel.
Right.
And he just grabbed like a shitload of of the glasses and just
and left.
Then, yeah, and just waddled out with him. Like, kind of wearing a Lakers jersey.
Just in case?
I wanted to track him down and physically assault him. I really disliked that guy.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't like him.
That guy or that type of guy?
That type of guy.
Yeah.
I hate that guy.
I understand.
Yeah. Not the obese part. You know, eat food, die early. That's up to you. But doing that and stealing and being and wearing Lakers, oh, it's just
That's
trifecta.
Shit cherry on the shit Sunday. I made the point, I think, on the Carolla show that no one's going to remember this movie in a year.
Show?
There's a show hosted by Adam Carolla that I do movie reviews on. No one's going to remember this movie.
That's the worst kind of summer blockbuster, right? The worst kind of movie.
The worst kind of movie, but the worst kind of summer blockbuster, which is... comes out of the gates, makes a lot of money, but this is a very disposable movie. I don't think anyone's going to be thinking about or remembering this movie in a year. And I got a lot of tweets saying like, "What are you talking about, man? This movie's great." I'm like, "Tell me."
Look at Brian. Look, he's holding one finger in the air, going,
"One finger in the air."
You tell me, son. Let's have this conversation again in a couple months and see where you're at with that. Okay, mark my words.
If you're one of those people,
finger remains in the air.
On your honor, think to yourself right now, and I'll give you 2 seconds. What is the best movie you saw last summer?
Goddamn, I was hoping I have a really quick answer for
you. Don't, because if you're thinking of summer blockbusters, you're not going to think of one. The Avengers or some bullshit. Like, these movies are disposable. This is not meant to last in your memory. There's nothing great about this movie.
What was last summer? Logan.
The Avengers was the
Avengers
movie.
No,
but what was better? We did top five summer recap. I had one.
Was Looper in the summer?
Yeah, Looper was end of summer.
Let's do that again. All right. So
okay. If you're one of those people. Mm-hmm. Just answer me now. You have 2 seconds. What was your favorite movie of last summer?
Looper, absolutely.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You nailed that.
So
in
good.
No time at all.
Looper, it's an amazing
Jesus
movie.
Jesus Christ.
So good that Shane Carruth was actually an advisor on the movie.
We talked about
technical advisor.
We talked about the movie too much.
Can I give my defense for the movie?
Yeah, what'd you
think? You saw the old
Yeah, I saw Man of Steel yesterday. Uh-huh. I thought the action sequences were really interesting looking. As far
I thought they were too busy.
See,
says the man who loves Transformers with the tornado of steel.
And I was worried
steel.
That they were going to go that way where they were really close up on the action and that you couldn't see what was going on. But I thought they did that Zack Snyder did the opposite. In fact, it was kind of zoomed out and he didn't slow down the time at all like he does in most of his movies. He kind of kept it going. It almost felt like a video game watching it, but it was more fun than
I agree with that.
The camera movements were really interesting.
Oh, I'm excited about that. I'm mostly excited about Michael Shannon. How was
Michael Shannon was great. Not his most standout role. Uh-huh. Like when you look at him in comparison to something like Take Shelter or something.
But he'll be more known for this role than anything he's
exactly.
done thus far.
And as far as Superman movie goes, I thought it was a decent Superman movie.
Because these superhero movies depend so much on the villain for me anyways. Almost more than the actual hero. If you got a great villain in the movie, it could make up for any shortcomings the hero has.
He was good. Mm-hmm. I have it written down here. He was good, but
I need to know that
for sure. Prefer the Terrence Stamp portrayal in Superman 2. There was no Neil before Zod moment. There was nothing you remember Michael Shannon for. He was good, but he wasn't compelling.
It just didn't live up to the hype that it had.
I'm concerned.
Like it didn't live up to the Dark Knight exactly like the Dark Knight.
No,
what is that? You know, I understand they're trying to recapture. And I shouldn't be talking like this way before I see the movie, but of course they're going to be trying to recapture Lightning. I mean, Christopher Nolan himself tried to recapture that, and just it didn't happen. I mean, I'm afraid that Dark Knight's one of those like once in a decade, you know, once in a generation movie.
Might be.
It's a Sidney Crosby of summer blockbusters.
It gets hurt a lot.
It did feel different enough from the Dark Knight series, though. Like the way that it was composed
totally
was different enough.
So moments ago, probably about 43 seconds ago now, I said I was concerned, and that was because Logan is talking so much about Man of Steel. And what concerns me is before the program began, he was in there and he said that he wants to talk about a movie, and it was not Man of Steel. So that means that
there's something else going on?
Yeah, Logan's going to be talking again. There's a lot of airtime for Logan is what I'm saying.
Hold on there, Logan. Get those clips ready. I don't want to talk anymore about a marginal movie that no one's going to remember in a year.
Why not?
I do want to talk about the best movie I've seen this summer.
Wait.
Possibly this year.
Are you doing the your what you like most to least like you did the last couple weeks?
Okay,
you've abandoned that. Okay.
I'm doing a random thing. I do want to talk about
what's the best thing you've seen all year?
This is the end.
Yeah. Logan, get on board, buddy.
This is the one
that he wanted to talk about.
This is the end rule.
This is a movie made for Bri. That
this is
I actually enjoyed
this
as well.
Was such a good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed it so much. Mm-hmm. Funny, laughed out loud many times. I think this will be. I'm ready to call two
It'll
things.
Sweep
number
the
one,
Oscars, right?
Absolutely. Sweep. Number one, this is a great movie. It's certainly a great comedy. Mm-hmm. Number two, this will be the breakout comedy of the summer. There's always one. There's always one breakout comedy in the summer. The Ted or Bridesmaid, The Hangover. There's always one over the last few years, and I think this will be.
This is it. Yeah.
I mean, maybe there'll be another one, but this is certainly.
The To Do List comes out end of July. A lot of people are excited about that one.
I have no idea what that is.
Aubrey Plaza. What? It was on my top five.
Yeah. I saw a trailer for it.
Christ almighty, this guy.
I saw the trailer for it.
Logan, Christ almighty, this guy. All right. Go. Logan saw it as
I'm
well.
Actually surprised you guys like this movie as much as you say
Turn
you did.
Turn the mic off.
So let me start by saying that it was a really funny movie, but it was essentially 2 hours of improv stoner comedy.
That's great.
It was funny.
When it's really funny, stoners, fuck yeah, bring it on.
But there was no cleverness to it. It was like they went for way too many cheap laughs for my taste. Like
disagree.
Way too many just dirty words and that they relied too heavily on that.
You know what? There was a full layer of that. I'll give you that. I saw that quite a bit. For every like fifth joke, I'd say, okay, there's like just like a lowest common denominator joke, and you know whatever. You're gonna have that in big movies, but I disagree. I think there was plenty of okay, here's something that I forgot, and I was pissed that I didn't bring it up last week when I flickfest this. And reading about this movie, the director that's co-directed by Seth Rogen and Adam Goldberg?
Evan Goldberg.
He had a little game he was playing with himself. He was trying to get all of the leads in the movie, which, you know, there's a number of them. He was trying to get each and every single one of them to say at one point or another, no, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to do that, Evan. I can't do that on film. Hmm. He was trying to get each and every one. There was a lot of improvising going on.
Sure, of course.
And they were coming up with stuff on the fly. And I guess that every single one of them broke except for James Franco. And I think maybe one other. But James Franco like said yes to everything. Like, there was nothing that guy wouldn't do on in the movie.
It's a funny movie. Logan, I see what you're saying, and I kind of agree in the sense that, yes, there were a few of the cheap just go for a dirty word or whatever, but there was enough real actual humor and jokes going on that it made it kind of like, all right, that's just one element of a comedy.
It was funny. I just don't think it's going to be the classic that you guys are claiming it's going to be.
I think it's going to be.
I don't think it's going to hold up in comparison to – I know you hate the movie Superbad, but I don't think it's going to be considered a classic in the sense that one will be considered.
I think Superbad is really overrated.
Superbad's totally overrated.
It's a silly movie.
I'm not thinking in terms of that. I'm thinking about in terms of what everybody's going to be talking about years from now.
So he's talking as
people aren't going to be talking about this is the end.
I think they will be. I think they will be because it's so unique in the sense that it's a bunch of like the It crowd playing themselves. I can't remember that happening in recent memory, and it was very funny as well, and it was good looking.
We won't know for a few years, Logan. But to your point, I really believe this is a watershed movie. I think more movies are going to be made like this with people playing versions of themselves, friends sort of just being in movies together, that kind of thing, because it's the comedy. It felt like, Anderson, did you feel like it felt like a very long, very elaborate, very expensive, very funny, like a Funny or Die sketch?
Yes.
College humor. It's the blending now of movies plus online, plus reality TV, plus everything we know from TMZ. It's everything coming together, and this is the birth child of all that stuff.
But it wasn't making any kind of commentary to that point.
It absolutely was making commentary as far as like the modern-day actor and how worthless they are in society and in a religious as far as religion goes.
No,
and
but
what
I mean, like, it wasn't really – I don't think that the intent was to capitalize on this audience of YouTube video viewers.
I think it is.
I mean, it's not because Logan.
This started off as an online sketch, didn't it?
And like they even did their own little YouTube style version of Pineapple Express.
That's
too.
True. All right. You talked me around on that point.
Here's my thing, because Evan Goldberg also did. He did Break. What was it?
Superbad. And Pineapple Express.
And Superbad, I thought was just all the crass stuff you're talking about, lowest common denominator.
Yeah, that
of
was
that
the...
shit. And it was like really stiff. It was before,
but it had such a basic, relatable story.
It felt to me
it's a generation.
I agree. I think Logan saw it when he was in high school. It felt to me like
go back and watch it.
It was written by a high school student, and then I come to find out that Seth Rogen wrote it when he was in high school, and I was like, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense. It's a very silly patchwork. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Which one are we talking about now? Superbad? Yeah.
Yeah,
well, this one was written around the same time. At least the short was.
Yeah, but this is obviously developed, you know, since they're adults.
Fuck. I haven't even done my guide in flick fashion.
Good movie. This is the end. Go see it.
I don't have a whole lot to say about any movies this week. I'm just going to rapid fire. In no order, okay? Because I'm doing eight. So
this is
no
the end
going
to count as one of your movies? This is the end count as one of your
No,
fashions?
It's not. I have eight because I'm doing it. Real quick. The Kings of Summer, all right? The Kings of Summer.
What do you say?
The Kings of Summer.
Four times.
There's a movie called The Kings of Summer.
Oh, my God.
Seen on the heels of the coming of age, top five coming of age movies last week. I went and saw this one of unknown actors. You're not going to really know anybody in this. I don't have any of the makers of the film in front of me. I'm just going to talk to you about why it doesn't work real quick.
Is it a foreign
film? You don't have to go out and run out and see it. No, it's about – you've hopefully heard of something about it. No? Nothing?
What have I – why?
Logan, you and I are going to talk here, okay?
It's Nick Offerman, bunch of kid actors.
No, don't say oh. Like that means
I know
any
who Nick Offerman
to-
is.
You watch Parks and Rec?
No, but I know the bearded guy from Parks and Rec.
So it's the storyline is this. It's a couple kids, teenage kids, like freshmen in high school. It's their summer, and they've had enough of their parents. They're being repressed. Nothing horrible. There's no like sexual abuse going on.
Yeah, they escape, and they make the treehouse.
One kid's got his dad, who's like a widower, and the other kid, he's just got some very strict parents who are always on his back. So they go, and they make a house out in the middle of the woods.
Yep.
And it never found its tone. I thought it was funny, and then it thought it was like a collection of slow motion. It was all substance. I mean, there was no substance. It was all style. I felt like I was watching a Terrence Malick film at numerous points. I've never seen so many montages in a movie.
What about Rocky IV?
Like the kids, especially the main kid, like he's trying to get the girl, but she's not, you know, I'm not without getting anything away, but he's supposed to be like kind of like the nerdy kid, but he's not. Like he's filled with confidence and he's like a good looking kid. Mm. It's just the whole movie. I didn't hate it by any means. Plus, it was an R, so they could have. You don't even realize it's an R. I looked at it. I'm like, yeah, I guess I heard the word fuck a couple times, but not like I need nudity, but there's no nudity at all. They could have gone to some real deep places, some real places with kids of that age, and they didn't. It was just kind of like they had an idea where these kids are going to make
skim
a house.
The surface.
And it opens up for some reason with him not being able to make a birdhouse, and then like 10 minutes later, he's making an entire fucking two-story house. What the? Help me believe. Like, I was hoping to be whisked away, and there was no whisking. Like, I was watching actors act the whole movie. It was upsetting. I was hoping to be whisked. I was excited about the Kings of Summer, Brian.
But now no longer.
It let me down. Mm. All right. So, you know, also coming on the heels of top five coming of age movies. So it was. I was hoping to be something more, and it was not. The Kings of Summer. I wouldn't rush out and see it. That being said, if you were to go see it after hearing that, you'd probably be pleasantly surprised.
Anderson, that was a piece of shit.
Talking, I think we did Sundance movies and Sundance movies. Moving on now, Brian. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was at least on my also-ran, if it didn't make my top five most anticipated Sundance movies of this year, was Pussy Riot.
Yeah.
A punk prayer. Pussy
Riot.
Yeah, the
Russian punk ladies.
Yes. I saw this. It is a needed style. The Kings of Summer, way too much style. Mm-hmm. Not nearly enough style with Pussy Riot, a punk rock prayer. It is a documentary about the many people know of it now. They talked about it on 60 Minutes, and it's this group where there's unknown members as far as numbers. There could be a dozen. Hopefully, they're hoping there's going to be a bunch that just say that they're Pussy Riot, and it's in Russia, and they hate Putin, right? They all hate Putin. They hate the establishment and what's going on in Russia, and they put on these masks. I forget what they call them, but they're more along the lines of Bolsheviks,
okay,
and the ways of the past, the communist ways.
Nice.
They're very leftist, and they hate Putin, and this all centers around a small group of them that went into the Church of Christ, like and they went up on the altar and they did some song about God shit, and it was very offensive, and they were trying to be political activists, which they don't really have many of over there in Russia at all, and they get arrested, and then it falls to trial, and it's one of those documentaries that's very informative. And it's unbelievable. The most unbelievable part, I think, is the Orthodox Christians over there. Mm-hmm. Badass fucks, man.
Really?
They look like biker dudes. I was into them. I kind of want to go over and be on their side. They're talking about how these bitches should be burned at the stake.
Wow.
But, you know, just 100 years ago, these be considered witches. We'd hang them.
They hate Putin.
They have like, no, these are the
the girls,
Orthodox Christians that absolutely hate the girls. Pussy Riot.
And all the protesters are girls?
Yeah, they're all girls.
Wow.
Which is kind of strange, right? Uh-huh. But I mean, they're all feminist. They all believe in feminists. The leader chick, can't remember her name because I don't have names in front of me. Names are overrated. Let's just say the leader chick, all right?
Yeah, you're not dealing with names.
She's got the same mouth as Evgeny Malkin, who's a very famous Russian hockey player.
I thought you choked
big,
on something.
Big lip, big lip on the bottom, small lip on top, which is beautiful. And there's also footage
of Carl Pilkington.
Footage of her having sex at 8 months pregnant. In something, another protest that she did called the Biology Museum, where a bunch of people got together and had sex in Russia, put it up on YouTube. Anyways, Pussy Riot, it's worth a watch. It's all in Russian, and it's very informative, like I said, and it's enjoyable. I was hoping for some more style. I was hoping to get kind of amped while watching it and like going, oh, this is great. But it was just like, oh, this is interesting. Kind of like a 60 Minutes piece in Russian. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. You ever heard the story about Putin? Not to get off base too much.
I know it's kind of a weird with the women and everything.
With the ring?
I don't know what the ring is.
This is worth telling real quick. All right. Kraft. Who's the guy that owns the Patriots?
Oh, yeah. He stole the ring from Bob Kraft.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Supposedly.
All right. Here's how the story goes. Bob Kraft, the owner of like Kraft Mac and Cheese and the Patriots, and he's a big, famous, very wealthy American business owner. He met with Putin for some reason or another, and he says, hey, Putin, check out my kick-ass Super Bowl ring, because the Patriots win every other year because they cheat. And Putin said, oh, that's a nice ring you got there. Let me look at it. And he was looking at it, and he just slipped it in his pocket. And then two big like KGB-type dudes, two big Russians, separate Mr. Kraft and Mr. Putin as Mr. Putin turns his back, walks away with the ring. And then American, he's like, I want my ring back. So he's like kind of causing a fuss and making phone calls later. Like, can I please get my goddamn Super Bowl ring back? It's like irreplaceable. And then like, I guess high-ranking American diplomats or officials started calling Bob Kraft and saying, hey, you know what you ought to do is send Putin an email or some kind of note saying, I hope you enjoy the ring because that's a gift. Why don't you just make that a gift?
Wow.
That's what you ought to do.
Yeah, I didn't know how it resolved itself. I knew about the ring thing, but I didn't know how it resolved itself.
It's a power move.
It's a fucking, that's an alpha male move in the jungle. That's like fucking in the jungle shit.
I can't imagine doing that. All right, and then finally I saw the to-do list. Took a bus because my car's in the shop today, Brian. Took a bus across town to see a screening of the to-do list, which I was invited to. I rarely do those, but I was excited about the to-do list.
Seems like you're doing them a lot more lately.
The to-do list doesn't come out until end of July, so I got a jump start, and it was on my top five most anticipated summer movies, Aubrey Plaza, and everyone else is in this movie. Danny Glover's in it, Danny Samberg, the little redheaded kid from Modern Family.
Yes.
A bunch of other people.
Luke.
No names in front of me. Written and directed by a lady. God damn it, I should have her name in front of me.
You really should.
Here's what I'm going to tell you about this movie. If you're a kid and you like sex and you're a girl, I think the girl's going to like this. It's a hard R. Hard R. I think you're going to like this. I did not like it.
What if you fit all of those criteria except you're not a girl and you're not a kid, but you like sex?
No, I don't think so. Because Aubrey Plaza doesn't really do it for me. Oh. You know, if they had like a cuter girl in there.
Oh my God. Do you remember the last time? What the fuck? What was that about? Safety not guaranteed or something? I talked about it and I said, I applaud Aubrey Plaza on overcoming whatever disease she had that paralyzed her face. Mm-hmm. You laughed. Someone tweeted me, was like, dude, she had a stroke when she was like 20.
She did not.
Something happened to her when she did.
She had a stroke when she was.
I felt terrible.
She was in her 20s.
Well, you know what? That dead face is not really showing up here. And
I don't think it has anything to do with her face now. Like
she's
face
actually more animated
fine now
in this movie than I've seen her in anything else.
Really?
And she was okay and she was good in it, but just a lot of scat humor. She farts at one point, which I was not a fan of.
That's good stuff.
It could almost be NC-17. I think 10 years ago this movie comes out, it's NC-17. I mean, there are shots, like, there's a shot of her from above the bed looking down on her. I should first tell the premise real quick. She's a nerd. She's valedictorian of every. Did I say that right?
Yep. Valedictorian.
She's, like, you know, student of the month. And it opens up with a really cute little montage, the opening credits, that she's a perfect student and she's a nerd. She's probably OCD and maybe a little autistic. You know, but you couldn't really make a movie about an autistic chick who's going on sex escapades. But, I mean,
no.
For it to really be real and work. Brian, remember what we talked about before the show? Don't pick your nails.
Oh, why not? I'm listening.
Okay.
You say to be really real and work.
So she has all these to-do lists for like nerdy things, like what she has to do before to go to college. She has to like pack all her stuff. And then she sees a guy that she likes at a party. And then one thing leads to another. And she realizes she's very sexually inexperienced. And she has an older sister who's hot, who's had tons of sex. And she says, you know what? I have to get sexually experienced before I go off to college. Mm. So she makes a to-do list of all these different things, such as finger banging, blow job, dry humping. And this full sexual to-do list.
Instead of a bucket list, a fuck it list.
It's good, Brian. Not bad. So at one point, masturbation is one of them. So at one point, there's actually a scene from above the bed, the camera's set up, and her hands are full on down her panties, which say Wednesday on them, evidently, because she has each day of the week.
Sure,
she's one of those girls. But she's going to town on herself. It was uncomfortable. There's many, many uncomfortable moments. I was very pleased that I saw a screening of this and did not see it with my wife. Maybe I'm a prude. I think part of the problem, too, is working on that goddamn sex show for as many years as I have. I've become very desensitized to sex and sex talk, like where it's just kind of boring or uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
I understand.
So, but you know what? Lowest common denominator and like 17, 16-year-old girls. And the good of this movie is I could have been so easy to make it about like a nerdy guy trying to do this sex list. You know what I mean?
Well, that was essentially American Pie.
But it's from a girl's point of view and it's a girl's perspective, so I appreciate that. But I don't see this movie being a runaway hit at all.
At all.
Unfortunately.
Coming up next. We're going to talk about.
We're going to do breakups, Brad.
Top five. Well, I'll talk about the top five breakup scenes. Anderson will do that and a little more.
You know what we should have done? Is said that there's a huge announcement that we have at the end of this program that will make a few people happy and many, many people upset. Lead people to believe that we're breaking up in the show. This is
I see.
That's what we should have done, Brad. We should talk during the week. Other than the only time that Brian and I ever talk during the week is about the fucking after disaster. He critiques it and, like, sends me.
I don't critique it. I give you ideas about things you talk about.
It's uncomfortable.
Next. Sometimes, Anderson, with these Amazon purchases, I really want to know the story. If I could find out the story behind these, it would make me a happy man. Unfortunately, all we have are numbers and stats, and somebody bought 9 sets of historical colonial wigs for men.
Mm-hmm.
Standard size.
They're doing a play. Bro.
They're doing a play. Doing a Civil War reenactment. They're doing sort of play. Maybe it's a period piece porno.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a porno set in colonial.
Your mind has to go there.
I'm just thinking of possibilities. Anyway, interesting and notable purchases from Amazon.com. Click through. Available at AndersonandBrian.com. Maybe you'll hear yours if you listen.
Maybe you'll hear yours.
Oh. Hey, coming up next. Someone got a metal cigarette roller and storage box.
Why wouldn't you? The apocalypse may be on its way.
That's a good point.
If you're a smoker, that's one of the main things.
I've always wanted one of these. Someone got a breathalyzer, professional edition.
My wife always threatens me with that one of those.
Someone got a 40,000-gallon above-ground pool.
Jesus.
So enjoy that.
Thank you very much for clicking through.
There you go. So I got a digital recorder. I guess they're going to maybe get into the world of podcasting.
You could put a fucking Shamu in a 40,000-gallon tank.
Somebody went fucking crazy, Anderson, with movie posters this week. Somebody got movie posters from. You ready for this?
I'm going to judge them. Here we go. Judge. Time.
Footloose.
No.
Ghostbusters. House on Haunted Hill.
No.
Rocky.
No.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yep.
Jaws.
Yep.
Gremlins.
Yep.
And the Breakfast Club.
Somebody's opening a VHS video store.
Yeah. Possible. Someone's in a retro. Maybe they're shooting an 80s period piece porno.
All right.
Instead of video store.
Got it.
Someone got a Buffalo Sabres car sticker.
Smart.
Vinyl car sticker. Is that smart? Are they good?
Well, one day the Sabres will win something.
Someone got a Florida Gators fleece blanket.
That's where Gatorade came from, folks.
That's exactly right. They call it Gatorade. Someone got a set of throwing knives.
Why not?
To throw. Logan, you know video games. What is The Last of Us? Is that a big game?
It's a new zombie-type video game for the PlayStation 3.
A whole shitload of people bought that, so thanks for buying that through our click-through. We appreciate it. A whole bunch of people got that. Someone got, how about this? A 1-7 DVD duplicator. And it was a very expensive item, so I imagine it's very, very good.
Way to pirate.
Good luck stealing. And speaking of stealing, someone got a whole security system for the house, including night vision cameras, outdoor wireless cameras.
Ooh, what's that go for? My wife's always telling me.
It's a whole set of things. It looks like it cost around several hundred dollars. Wow. It's a whole set of things.
Sorry, honey, you're not going to get that.
And, of course, someone got a Roku. Thank you for getting all you get through Amazon. Anderson, movies.
The wife wants to. Okay, my sister's living with us, right? And we're going to be out of town for a week and a half, and we don't trust my sister. This is terrible. I'm saying this. But what my wife's idea is, we're going to put cameras up in the living room, just out in the open, and be like, all right,
fake
goodbye,
cameras.
Sister.
Yeah.
No, not fake. We're real.
Oh.
We want to check in on the dogs, but also don't be bringing boys back to the house,
because
we're going to be watching from out of town. All right, here are the films that were bought since click through since we last talked. The Dark Knight Rises, The Natural, The Pillars of the Earth, The Room. Somebody bought two copies of The Room.
The Room,
which is numerous times has been cited as the worst movie ever made. The Spanish Prisoner, which is very ungood until the very end, and then I'm like, holy shit, what a great movie. One of those.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. I really like
it's
that.
It's a good movie.
Michael Mamet.
The whole thing's
Michael
good.
Mamet. David Mamet. What the fuck is wrong with my brain? Damn names. The Terminator. Remastered Blu-ray. We need to talk about Kevin. Very, very smart purchase there. We need to talk about that, Kevin. Zero Dark Thirty. Smart.
Not a smart purchase, though, because you don't want to have that in your home at all times.
Yeah, you do. A Nightmare on Elm Street. 1-4. Film favorites. Batman Blu-ray. Don't know which Batman, but it's there. Look at this. Being There. Being There.
Bean.
Gotta love that movie. Being There. Hal
What's
Ashby.
Movie
Hal
Bean?
Ashby.
What's their name called?
Peter,
Being There.
Peter Sellers and Sherlyn Klein and Being There. Being There.
That's right.
Django. It's the D is silent there. Goodfellas. All in words. Smart. 20th anniversary edition. Inglorious Bastards. Not going to say Jackie Brown. No Country for Old Men. Oh, brother, we're out there. And Repo Man. Great soundtrack on that Repo Man as well, if you like your punk rock.
Thank you for clicking through, getting all that you get at Anderson and Brian. On the click through at AndersonBryan.com.
Settle down.
We appreciate
you
it.
Okay.
Enjoy the rest of the show. Hello, this is M. Night Shyamalan, and you're listening to The Film Vaults on AndersonAndBryan.com. Yes. Welcome back. Thanks, The Royal Sound. They're our featured artist of the week. From right here in L.A., they have an EP out called Cinema. Check them out, theroyalsound.bandcamp.com or andersonandbryan.com. Thank you, guys. And also, thank you, guys, for submitting so much great listener art. There's more listener art up this week. It's very, very funny. And keep it coming, because we like not taking pictures, and we also like seeing what you guys, what twisted and interesting and funny designs you guys come up with. So listener art, send it to AndersonAndBryan.com. There's our contact email on there, and we appreciate it. Anderson?
Yeah, brother.
You got clips?
No, I didn't bring
clips. Damn it!
I brought other movies, many of which are on Instance now, so you can watch it through Fuckflix.
Okay.
As a consolation prize to a shitty list, and no clips. What do you think of that? Still holds value.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
What my added...
Listen, it doesn't have to have clips. You just talk about the breakup. What it meant to you.
Very little. I don't give a fuck. Oh, look, they're not together. They'll probably be together at the end, though. Who cares?
I have one classic breakup scene. I have a couple funny ones and one that is not funny at all. Very intense.
I'm sorry, Brian. I feel like I was adrift at sea all week. It was really
That's all right, buddy.
Quite terrifying. I've never had this problem.
Why do you think that is? Because there's a lot of breakup scenes in movies. You'll see when I give my...
I don't watch movies about relationships. I rarely do.
You've seen all of these movies.
Probably forgot them.
You may have. Mm-hmm.
Any crossover?
Very unlikely. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, maybe if you ask people for... yeah, maybe. There's a couple.
This is funny. I was talking just tonight, maybe an hour ago, I was talking to my wife on the phone.
My wife.
And I tell her, honey, I'm worried. I'm concerned because we rarely talk about the show. I don't have a list. She's like, well, tell me what you got. Because like, she usually has a couple. You know, she'll spout
this
out.
This is an area where she can maybe help.
Yeah. And I'm like, and she goes, you know what? I got nothing. What do you got? So I told her a couple and she cuts me off. She goes, I thought it was supposed to be movies no one's ever seen or heard of before. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, isn't that how you're supposed to come up with your list? I'm like, no, honey, it's not criteria for the list at all. What are you talking about? That's how much she knows about the show.
These are top five obscure breakups. Top five unknown breakups.
Thanks, honey. Thanks a lot.
Top five breakups no one saw. All right, you should go first because then I can do my clips.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I haven't looked up mine because I'm trying to do the research.
Come on now. Do you want me to go first?
Would you? No, it's okay. I got it. 1997. This is a little idea of what's more to come.
I have a 97.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
The fat man directed with a beard?
No.
Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith film that I still get shit for liking. I still think this is, I hate to say it, but maybe his best film. Jason Amy.
It might be.
Like that movie a lot.
That and Clerks are my two favorite.
Clerks? Never heard of it.
Clerks.
Clerks?
Clerks.
Mm-hmm. Chasing Amy, Joey Lawrence Adams. Joey Lauren Adams, yep. And Ben Affleck. And the breakup scene is, it might be one of the most real things that old Kevin Smith has ever directed that I've seen anyways. It's Ben Affleck. He just heard a bunch of horrible things about his girlfriend, who is Joey Lauren Adams. And they go out in a parking lot and it's uncut and it's maybe 3 minutes of her just guttural screaming, which can be annoying. But when it's in context, I mean, it's real. I mean, she's acting her heart out, and Ben just being Ben, sitting there going, what? You slipped? I can't believe you didn't tell me.
It's in the parking lot of a hockey arena.
Yes, and it was a really, really good scene, and if I have dated girls that have questionable pasts similar to her character in that movie, and I kind of felt the pain that Ben was not projecting. He wasn't that good in that scene at all. He didn't really do much.
I've had that experience too, Anderson, where you have the girl you're dating who has the questionable past, and the problem is the doubt eats away at you and invisibly eats away at the relationship. She doesn't know, but it's eating away at the relationship.
But it was a good scene.
It was a well-made scene.
Yeah. I like that. So number five,
I own that Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy, and you know what? A lot of people say, "What, you like that movie?" I thought it was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
And a lot of people have turned on Joey Lauren Adams. She was huge back in that time.
Yeah, she had a good run.
And people hate her now.
Wasn't she dating Kevin Smith at a certain
point? Don't care. Don't know. Oh. But it's on instant, like I said. Now, this isn't really going to really work because it seems like you were into that. And I
was into
that for you. But consolation prize. Circus Rosaire.
Oh, this is your flick.
It's a documentary.
You don't have to do this.
Oh, I do.
Have to do this.
I feel like I should.
All right. You're going to interrupt the mini flick fashion.
All right. You're right.
You don't have to do that,
Bob. I am going to do this real quick, though, because I started. Circus Rosaire. Check it out if you like animals. It's about a circus family. Mm-hmm. It's on instant right now. Like, if I didn't say that. Documentary. Really, really touching. It turns out there are still people. I know it's hard to believe. I'd be skeptical, too, if I heard myself talking right now and I hadn't seen the film. There are still circuses out there, the Rosaires in particular, who have animals in their acts and as part of their show.
Does Ringling Brothers don't do that?
Love their animals, and they treat them really,
course.
Really well.
And they essentially live with them.
I cried my eyes out of this one scene where she was teaching this little chimp how to say yes and no. It was very sweet, very touching. And they lived with their animals recklessly to the point where the human daughter, grew up with a chimp brother. I mean, from the time that she was born, like, the chimp was a baby as well, and that was her brother growing up. She didn't know anymore any different,
right?
Until they all tried to kill her when she was like nine.
Chimps,
and now she has
rip your faces off.
Huge fear of them. The daughter does, but her brother was one of the chimps, and I cried two different occasions during watching this movie, Circus Rosaire. If you have any interest, a very interesting movie. Once again, informative. Not a ton of style there, but it's one of those informative, fun movies.
And is it new or old?
I think it's pretty new. What? Circus Rosaire. On
there you go. Number five for me, Logan. You have that ready? Cue that up.
2008.
Why not start off the list, Anderson, my list?
2008, Circus Rosaire.
It was a classic breakup scene. This is an iconic scene that occurs at the very... This is the last scene of the film. Let's go ahead.
Wait, hold on. Are you going to fuck things up?
This is an iconic scene. There's no way no one's not familiar with this. Everyone has heard this.
Okay. Good to trust you.
Red, Red, where are you going?
I'm going to Charleston, back where I belong.
Please, please take me with you.
No.
Kicks her to the
curb. I'm
curves.
Through with everything here. I want peace.
You didn't have curbs.
I want to see if somewhere there isn't something left in life of charm and grace.
Somewhere, something.
You know what I'm talking
no.
about?
No. I only know that I love you.
That's your misfortune.
Cold-hearted.
Red, you go. Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
And he walks out of her life forever, Anderson. Red breaks up with Scarlett in the last scene of Gone with the Wind. I think everyone is familiar with that
scene.
Have
you even seen that movie, Brian?
I've seen enough of it to consider myself having seen it.
Oh, shut up. Shut up.
It's so goddamn
long. Shut up. Are you serious right now? You have not seen the movie?
I saw.
And it's on your list.
I saw enough of it.
Oh, my God.
Enough of it years ago.
I'm going to break up with you.
Oh, no.
Really? You have a movie that's on your list. Sure, we're doing scenes today.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you've not seen the entire fucking movie?
I've not seen the entire thing.
And yet you had the gall, the tenacity to put it on your list?
Well, it's a scene that we all know and love.
Who loves that? Who loves that other than people that are either
dead? It's iconic and it's powerful and he fucking kicks her to the curb. He's
or they're
heartless.
Looking longingly at graveyards as they drive by. Those are the
fucking
only people that like
ice water's goddamn veins.
Looking longingly at graveyards as they... As they
that's
pass
right.
them because they won't die.
They want so bad to be part of it.
Brian, come on. Have a little bit of.
What?
You're looking at me seriously like
I'm
you are concerned.
Serious.
You should be concerned. You should not have things
not
on your list that you're not familiar with.
I'm familiar with it. Gone with the Wind. Not to Miriam.
All right, do you have an extra flick fashion? Because I feel like you owe it to the listener.
I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
That was the fucking legitimate scene. It's a great breakup scene.
All right, I'm gonna one up you here. My number four
movie you haven't seen?
No, I've seen it. Don't like it at all. Wet Hot American Summer.
No,
Wet Hot American Summer.
Overrated.
Don't know the names of the actors in the scene.
Michael Showalter.
David Wayne directed it. I've never been a huge fan of this movie. A lot of people tell me I should be, and I was kind of late to the party, and I watched just probably 3 years ago for the first time ever. Not a fan. But I do remember, it's a summer camp movie, a lot of sophomore humor. Ian Michael Black, right?
Michael Ian Black.
I'll say it however I dyslexically
Why'd
like
you
to
ask?
Say it.
Why'd you
Michael
ask?
Ian Black is in it. And actually, the guy that's in the scene, I like him. I can't
Michael
remember
Showalter.
His fucking name right now. Is
pretty
that
sure,
his name?
Pretty sure it's Michael Showalter.
He's in 10 as well, which is also a David Wayne movie.
Mm. I'm pretty
he's
sure
the only good part. And he was in Loveline. He was on this show, and I told him he was the only part that I liked in 10, which I realized right after.
Whatever your name is.
Anyways, the breakup scene is classic. It's where he's with this hot girl. She's supposed to be 16. I think he's supposed to be young as well, but he's obviously like in his mid-30s. But she's saying, listen, what's that? You got a clip? Oh, yeah. This is the one clip that I almost gave you. And then I said, you know what? Let's play the clip because it speaks for itself. Are you familiar with this
yeah,
scene?
Yeah, I like you. I didn't see this till a couple years ago, and I kind of was like, what? People like this movie?
Logan, you got to play the clip because it's heart-wrenching. Let's do the clip.
It tastes like a burger. I don't like you anymore.
So Logan thinks he has a clip. I have a feeling it's wrong clip.
You have a feeling?
Yeah, pretty good
something,
feeling.
Something tells you?
No, here's the thing, Logie. It's in a field, goddamn this episode. They're in a field. They're outdoors. He's got a young, hot girlfriend, and he's talking about how he's got feelings for her. And she goes, yeah, me too. However, you're really nice. You're probably the right guy for me. But there's this Andy guy who I like a lot more physically because he's got a body that's like chiseled out of marble. She says, all I want to do, you know, is just because I just want to fuck him because I'm 16 and, I'm sexual. And honestly, that's all I really want to do right now. So I'm sorry. I hope you can understand. You're a great guy, and I hope we can still be friends. But I want to have meaningless sex with this sex god, Andy.
All right, I got the clip now.
Jesus
if
Christ.
You want it.
I just butchered it, but yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So obviously, I think we should get together in the city next weekend. I'll call my parents, and you can talk to your dad.
Listen, Coop. Last night was really great. You were incredibly romantic and heroic. No doubt about it. And that's great. But I've thought about it, and my thing is this. Andy's really hot.
Paul,
don't get me wrong, you're cute too, but Andy is like cut from marble. He's gorgeous. He's like this beautiful face and this incredible body, and I genuinely don't care that he's kind of lame. You know, I don't even care that he cheats on me. And I like you more than I like Andy Coop, but I'm 16. And maybe it'll be a different story, like when I'm ready to get married. But right now, I am entirely about sex. I just want Andy.
Yeah.
I want to take him and grab him and just fuck his brains out, you know? So that's where my priorities are right now. Sex, specifically with Andy and not with you. But you're really nice. I mean, everybody thinks so. And I'm sorry if this isn't the direction that you saw things going between us.
So now,
I still totally want to be friends.
8% of our listeners, as the results have shown, are girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 92% that are guys, they don't need to hear this, but I want to let the girls know, that is all of our worst nightmares. That is the worst thing you could possibly hear in a breakup if you're into the girl. And a lot of the time, that is exactly what's going on. You're just not going to hear it because girls are nice.
That's right.
But that's what, especially in the younger years, that's what's going on. Hey, you're a nice guy. I actually like you more. There's this lame fucko over here, though. Big dick, nice abs. I'm gonna bang the fuck out of him.
Get that drop, Logan.
That's funny, bro.
But, Logan laughed.
Yeah, brutal. Brutal.
Probably my favorite Paul Rudd role.
And Brian, Michael Showalter was the...
Thank you. I feel like I sound very familiar.
Nope.
Yes, you're right. It would be better for us as young boys, Anderson, young men, had we heard it this way and not the nice sugar-coated way the girls gave it to us. You know what I mean? I
feel like you're leading up with a clip.
No.
Yeah.
No, it would have been nice if this was delivered to us this way as opposed to...
It would have been nice?
Yeah.
You would have liked that.
As opposed to like the sugar-coated way.
No, that was give me sugar. I don't need to hear that. Are you kidding me? That would, if all girls were to be that honest, there would be a lot of angry, spiteful rapists out there. A lot more.
Oh, really? They just rape out of spite?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm so angry.
That's where most rape comes from.
Take your pants off.
Most rape comes from dudes that have been rejected numerous times.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
You look a little rapey.
Is that a statistical fact? I've not been rejected enough times to rape. Enough times.
Okay, let's move on. This
Number four.
Someone, a listener has actually sent me an email saying, I love your show. Please lighten up on the rape talk. And I realized at that moment that we should probably do that.
We should.
We should. You always engage.
We should. Mm-hmm. Number four for me. I have a clip for this one, and it is... I wonder if I should even say something leading up to this.
You should say, every time you say G, you should just follow up with I, Joe.
I will not. I'll just say it's from...
I wonder if I should...
It's a great breakup scene between Jerry Maguire and Avery from 1996.
Jerry, there is a sensitivity thing that some people have. I don't have it. I don't cry at movies. I don't gush over babes. I don't start celebrating Christmas 5 months early. And I don't tell a man who just screwed up both our lives. Oh, poor baby. That's me, for better or worse. But I do love you.
It's over.
Didn't hear it?
There's something missing here, don't you think?
You have never been alone.
Listen to me.
And you can't be alone.
It's over.
No one has ever dumped me.
I'm not trying to make history here.
I did the 23-hour nose route to the top of El...
Thank
oh,
you.
Brutal.
No, that's good. I don't need to hear more.
It just skipped to the end for some reason.
Oh, that's fucked up.
That's what happens when we rely on YouTube.
I think I have the force.
Bad times.
I think I have the fucking force.
You might.
I was wishing it to end.
Wow.
So mightily.
I don't know why you said that.
Using all my energy to make it end. And it
that sucks.
Worked.
I have some great clips coming up.
Really?
Anyway.
Was it good? I mean, what was there more? I remember this.
The reason it's funny is because after he breaks up with her, he goes, hey, come here, come on. He goes to give her a hug, and she fucking beats the shit out of him. She punches him, knocks him out, knocks him to the ground, and calls him a loser. And it's funny.
Elbow, knee to the ribs.
Knee to the groin, knee to the ribs, whatever, midsection.
Slapsticky.
Yeah. But like full on, beats him up. It's a very tender scene otherwise. And that ends up with a good ass kicking. My question to you, Anderson, have you ever been physically assaulted by a girlfriend?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like I got stories that I would love to tell on the show, but
let's
it's too
them.
Long.
Let's hear them.
No, that's what the after disaster's for.
Jesus
but
Christ.
But I had a gang, an actual gang wanted to, the entire gang wanted to beat me up. And it was a real deal gang. Like a lot of them are in jail for drive-bys and stuff.
Mm.
I don't want to say their names. HH, though. That's the initials. But for beating
Henry Hill?
For hitting a girl.
Because of fucking Goodfellas?
For hitting a girl.
Were you the guy that hit with the fucking...
Settle down.
In the driveway with the...
Billy.
With the,
oh, that guy? Yeah. Stay away from her.
Stay away from her. Fucking kill you.
No, I was not that guy. I don't play tennis.
You're the country club guy?
Listen, I broke up. I made the mistake of breaking up with a girl while driving my dad's car, of all cars. Not even my own car, my dad's car. My dad just got a new car. I'm like, hey, let me take it out for a spin, take the girl out. And it just struck me as she was sitting there in the passenger seat and we were going on a little bit of a joyride. I don't like this chick. We should break up. Because I thought I had a feeling she was sleeping with everybody. She was. And I said, you know what, honey, I don't think we should. Maybe we should break this off. And she went fucking ballistic and started gouging my eyes out. And the car at one point was sideways. It was going sideways down the road. And I did swing to get her off of me. I had to save both of our lives.
Sure.
She went to school the next
defensive
day.
Defensive swing.
She went to school the next day, told the leader of the gang who decided that he wanted her to be his girlfriend. Like he came up to me. That's how much balls this guy had. He's like, hey, Andy, that's what they called me back then. I like your girlfriend, Jenny. Yeah, she's going to be my girlfriend. I'm like, I don't think so, Mike. No. Mike Mariello. Oh, why am I saying
that?
Oh, my
God.
God damn it.
He's in jail.
I think he is in jail for beating an old man. True story. Beating an old man over the head with a gas fucking pump. Allegedly.
Do you think this podcast?
At a gas station.
Do you think this podcast is big in jail?
I don't think they have computers in jail. Brian, maybe white collar jails. Mm. Only accountants. Listen. So she goes.
Prison.
Jenny goes up to Mike the next day at school and says, hey, my boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, because he broke up with me, Andy. Yeah, I. You know why we're broken up? Because I told him I was pregnant and he started punching my stomach.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the angle she took.
Is that true?
Fuck you. That's true. You always push him down the stairs. You don't hit the stomach. You push down the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, of course it's not true. You don't. I swung at her to get her off me because she was gouging my eyeball.
Defensively.
Why am I telling this story? I should have told that on the episode.
I think
I already did tell that on the episode.
That's a great story.
Now, can I do my number three here?
Please.
Son of a bitch. Number three for me. Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Moving on.
That was a good scene.
Opening scene of the movie.
You know what the only problem was? I couldn't find that clip. That would have been in my top five.
Oh, I found the clip. I found it. But it's not the nudity is what you need. All right, here's Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Jason Segel is completely naked and so vulnerable. And I mean, it, once again, really strikes a chord with the male in me. There is some male in me, Brian. I'm about 70-30 male.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, I'm about 30-30 chick. 30% chick. Yeah. And,
that's a low estimate.
What?
It's a low estimate.
All right, 40. I'll take 40. I don't care. Anyways. I got enough dude in me to be able to respond to this, and he is so vulnerable. He finds out that she's breaking up with him. What's her name?
Kristen Bell?
Yeah, Kristen Bell. Comes over at the very beginning of the movie, and he's so
Sarah
shocked.
Sarah Marshall's her name.
So shocked that Sarah Marshall is breaking up with him that he just got out of the shower, he drops his towel, so now he's just standing there with his giant hog between his legs. Very vulnerable, very sad, very crushed, like as many of us have felt numerous times when going through this in a relationship. Well, you get crushed also when you break up with someone. But he's just sitting there saying, let's talk about that, naked as a jay on his couch, and she's just not having it. She's like, you're done, and he looks so like early man. There's no shelter, nothing to shield himself from the pain that is lady love.
He's naked in more ways than not just one, really.
And it was comical right up to the end where he eats the cereal. It's good.
Yep.
Good scene.
It's a good scene.
Number three, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Number three.
That was the runaway hit of that summer, I think. I liked that movie a lot.
It was a funny movie. That's sort of what launched Russell Brand, at least in this country, right? People sort of became familiar with him through that. I feel like it is. That's the first time I became aware of him, so I'm apologize if that's not the case, but feels like it. Number three for me, if YouTube in fact holds out. Logan, what's the problem with YouTube? Is it mess up sometimes?
Do we need the clips? Really?
I just think it's the computers here.
Okay. Hey, just to let you know, too, coming up by the end of the show, my number one, I don't know if I've mentioned, but it's very, very controversial.
Really?
Very, very controversial, number one, Brian. And I am going to deliver on my promise. I'm not doing all these extra flick fashions of movies that I would like to talk about. But I will be doing my number one best thing that I've seen since I last saw you.
Number three for me is not a funny scene. My only very, well, Gone with the Wind is serious, but this is a very serious. It's intense. It's heartbreaking. It's also from 1997, much like Anderson's film. This is Will Hunting and Skyler breaking up.
No, you're not going. You're not leaving.
What do you want to know? What? That I don't have 12 brothers? Yeah. That I'm a fucking orphan?
No, you don't want to hear that.
I didn't know
that.
No,
you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that I got fucking cigarettes put out of me when I was a little kid.
I didn't know
that. This isn't fucking surgery, that the motherfucker stabbed me. You don't want to hear that shit, Skylar.
I do want to hear
that. Don't tell me you want to hear that shit.
I want to hear it because I want to help you, because I want to be with
you. Help me? What the fuck? What do I got, a fucking sign on my back that says save me?
No.
Do I look like I need that?
No, God, I just want to be with you because I love you.
Don't bullshit me. Don't you fucking bullshit me.
I love you.
Is this adding to anyone's day?
I want to hear you say that you don't love me.
Why do you have to shit on my choices?
Because if you say that...
It's a choice, but it's hard to listen to, especially out of context.
Then I won't call you.
People are working, you know. It's Friday.
And I won't
trying to learn about movies.
Life.
It's a great scene.
We don't need to hear this.
It's intense. Oh, he delivers the hammer. You breathed over it, but he said, I don't love you. And he walked out.
Sorry, buddy. I'm sorry.
And he walked out.
We should probably cut our mics when we're doing these clips here.
Anderson's for sure.
I apologize for breathing over that.
Over the, literally, the climax, the climactic emotional moment of the clip. You fucking huffed. Don't even talk over it. You didn't have anything to contribute. You were competing for attention.
I was not competing for attention.
I was
suggesting that the listener may not want to hear such emotional, gut-wrenching scenes necessarily.
How about you let the listener decide?
I'm just letting the listener know that I understand what they're going through. I'm with you, guys.
He's so empathetic.
You know what I mean? I'm with you. Oh, speaking of which, Matt Damon. Really good in Behind the Candelabra.
Yes, he was really
good. That was a good movie. You know what? I was looking at it. I watched it with the wife, and I look at the wife. Brian, you can talk about Good Will Hunting in a second, all right? Because everyone wants to learn about Good Will Hunting.
I
can't wait to hear more about Good Will Hunting.
I want to hear that iconic clip.
Behind the iconic clip.
It was a great breakup.
Yeah, everyone. I was in a bar just last night, and no one could shut up about that goddamn clip.
Greatest breakup of all time, according to me.
Behind the Candelabra. Mm. It's on HBO. You can send it away for Fuckflix. You can get it there.
Really?
I think so, yeah. It's a disc movie. Michael Douglas, fantastic. Very good. Might even be up for an Oscar if it was actually released in theaters. Behind the Candelabra.
Yeah,
Liberace.
Close.
And I looked at the wife because, you know, I don't know much about this movie. It was one of those rare movies that I could go in. I just knew Soderbergh directed it, and I knew some of the stars in it, Bakula and Matt Damon and Michael Douglas. I knew Nicky Catt was in it. Not enough Nicky
Catt was in it?
Yeah, yeah. He was the coke guy. Yeah. Nicky Catt.
No shit.
He's the coke guy. But Soderbergh could not get distribution of this movie. Brian talked about it a few weeks ago. Behind the Candelabra.
He was the coke guy doing coke with Matt Damon's
character? Yeah, that's Nicky Catt.
No shit.
That's why he's so great. Nicky Catt.
Swear to God, I did not recognize him.
I know. That's why he's great. Wow. Chameleon. We need more Nicky Catt. Nicky Catt's gone away. We rarely see him.
He's faded.
He was in The Babysitter, and before that, he was in The Dark Knight, and now Behind the Candelabra. Soderbergh, I have a feeling there's a few final straws with Soderbergh's career, but he has officially retired. He could come back, but as of right now, he's no longer making movies, and I think it's just a big finger to Hollywood and the system, and he really, really is upset with the studio system, and I think him not being able to get Behind the Candelabra distributed might be one of the final straws, if not the final straw. Just like, fuck you guys, you know what? Because there were some performances in here that could have possibly got recognized for some legitimate awards.
I agree.
Which would not be. And the irony is, there's a lot of talk about the Oscars in the movie.
I think they'll clean up at the Emmys and even at the Golden Globes and the TV categories.
It looked great. It was very slow, as so many of his movies are. But it really, you felt the feeling that you were getting a very realistic painting of the real Liberace. And I don't know much about him, even though I was named after him.
Andy Lee Liberace
by Corolla.
Oh,
the Liberace, the potentiometers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're gay?
No, it's because I used to have a ton of rings. I'm sure that's where he's going. I didn't even know what it meant. I mean, I thought he was just calling me gay, but now that I've seen the movie, I've seen all the rings. But yeah, if you can put up with slow plotting movies that are really character studies, it's very, very interesting and realistic depiction from what I know of Liberace, which is nothing. But it's good. You feel like you know a lot about Liberace. Yeah. Good character study there.
Coming up next, the conclusion. The best breakup scenes ever.
Music, Brian. Music. It's what brings us all together.
Attention, music heads. Is that what they call them?
No, Brian, don't do that. Sure. No. Hey, guys, you know what? If you're not on a label yet, hey, come get some exposure with us.
Yeah, we'd love to have you or your band or your solo act be a part of our...
Maybe it's a rap group,
be a part of our little podcast
here. Perhaps
it's
a rap group.
Perhaps it is. That'd be awesome, a little rap group. But send along your songs, your info to Logan. What is it? Contact TFE?
There's a button right on AndersonandBrian.com.
Oh, that's
says featured artist.
AndersonandBrian.com. And you know what? You get on our show, and honestly, it gets into a lot of ear holes.
It does. People listen to it, and dozens of people hear this every week.
And you got to send it through Logan, though. A lot of you guys tweet me and you beg me to get your band on here, and it's got to go through Logan. I don't know what his criteria is. I'm not kidding here.
He's pretty discerning.
Logan, what are you looking for?
I'm pretty open to everything as long as it's not too out there and weird and works with the bumper. I very rarely say no to somebody.
Come on in, guys.
Welcome back. Thanks to The Royal Sound, they are our featured artist of the week. LA's own The Royal Sound. Cinema, out now. Check it out, AndersonandBrian.com. Anderson?
Yeah.
Number two.
I think that we should ban something. I know we just did banning a couple weeks ago, but I feel like we should ban another element, and that is clips.
Banning clips?
Yeah.
Why?
You can't handle it.
You do much more clips than I do. In fact, you call often email or text me, clips?
Yeah.
Clips.
I used to think clips are good.
Clips are good.
Yeah. Kind of like drinking. Hey, you want to get some beers? Like with a friend. Like, you want to get some beers? And then you realize, oh, wait, that guy's a hardcore alcoholic. Every time he has beers, yes, he's an asshole.
Much like you can't prevent yourself from drinking too much and acting like an asshole, you also can't prevent yourself from talking during and or breathing loudly during
like
or the, somehow other talking.
The audience to know that Brian is being
clips.
Very serious right now. His brow is furrowed. He is being 100% serious.
That's right.
He is upset.
There's wrinkle lines being made, being formed.
You misconstrued what I said. When I was talking about the alcoholic asshole, it's you. You can't handle your clips.
Oh.
You can't. You always get angry whenever those clips. Every time
really?
Clips,
I feel like I'm
you get angry.
Very much in control.
You yell at me. You yell at Logan.
I can stop whenever I want.
You can't handle your clips, bro. That's all I'm saying. Really? Remember when you had the clips out of order and like he was
give me a clip.
Furious?
Give me a clip.
I wish you
I need
could
one
know.
Right now. He is so bad.
How serious I am when I say that he is serious.
Number two.
I'm sitting there on the couch with the wife watching. I was starting to say this about the Behind the Candelabra in lieu of Good Will Hunting talk. Well, I'm going to talk about this real quick. And I said, you know, I hope this movie goes deep enough into Liberace's life where it covers that part where he had like a driver. Like apparently he had a limo driver, some kind of chauffeur who was much younger than him, and he was paying for his plastic surgery to make it look like himself. Because I tell that to people and they don't believe me. And they think
that was the entire movie.
And it turns out that was the movie. That and I'm it. Like, holy shit.
Yep.
Numerous times I looked at her and I'm like, I really like this. This is hilarious. And then it would be slow for another 20 minutes, but then it would get back. And like, there's some really good stuff going on there.
The butt fucking scene was the best.
There's one of those in the to-do list.
Oh, sweet.
A lot of explicit sex in the to-do list. Uncomfortable. Okay. What are we doing here?
Number two for you.
Number two. I like my number two. Okay, if you have not seen Sleeping with the Enemy, you might want to push fast forward a couple times.
Yes.
Sleeping with the Enemy is a 1991 movie directed by Joseph Rubin, starring one Julia Roberts. And if you have not seen this and you plan on seeing this, it's an okay movie. IMDb rates it 5.9. Did I mention it's 1991? Here's the deal.
There's about four or five great scenes spread over a whole movie.
Yeah, it was a very 1991 movie. And it was the talk of the town when this came out. Like, everyone was talking
Julia
about
Roberts
it.
Is a huge. This is one of the first movies she did after Pretty Woman.
Much like Basic Instinct and what's the original one with Michael Douglas with the bunny?
Oh, Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. This was that movie of that year where everyone was talking, have you seen it? Have you seen Sleep with the Enemy? Anyways, long story short, the husband, he's a little bit controlling. When I say a little bit, I mean very. He's got a bad case of OCD that carries over to his relationship. She does get away from him for a little while and fakes her own death at one point. But the end of the movie is
that's
where
quite
she
a breakup.
Finally breaks up with him for good. And it's like, goddamn, I'm spoiling the fuck out of this movie, but I'm not recommending it. You know
no,
what?
It's not great. It's not great.
It's on Instant, though. You can watch it if you want. One of the greatest endings ever.
You think so?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, all right.
All right, here's the deal. If you want to hear it and you're still listening to this and you might watch the movie, make the decision right now. I think with the new app, you push the button and fast forward 15 seconds. Do that twice and I promise I'll be done. So she's got a gun and she's holding it on him and she calls the cops and she says, I need you to come right away. I've just killed an intruder. Before she pulls the trigger, hangs up, and then she shoots him. Awesome, good shit. That's some really good
that
shit.
That is some good shit.
And his eyes are like, oh shit, she's going to do it. But oh, it's good.
I forgot
and he
about
didn't
that.
Have that chance to yell out. Okay, so I should be done now. Okay. Hopefully the people that are smart and they didn't want to hear it. I shouldn't say smart, but I mean, I'd fast forward through that if I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
It's almost worth it to watch it at the end.
It wouldn't make me watch the whole movie, you know what I'm saying?
Get some Chinese food, watch it with your significant other on a Friday night. Why not?
Why does it be Chinese food, you racist?
Nothing to do with the movie being Chinese. It just like
oh,
Chinese.
Oh, okay, sorry.
You know, yeah. Don't you picture a couple sitting with the coffee table and the
Christy and I do? We do Thai food.
You know what's really upsetting when you order the Chinese food and you want the traditional Chinese boxes that you always see in the movies
and you
with
get the styrofoam
and they get the fucking styrofoam with it leaking all over the place.
I like that.
Bad futuristic times.
I like that. I like the box. By the way, the Chinese box food containers now, those have gone all like fun and like papyrus like gift boxes. That's like what people give away gifts in now.
Yeah, it's to the point
like
where
decorative.
It's just not. It's like a novel idea. Yeah. Like this is what people used to eat out of. The only thing you get is the small ones with the white rice.
Now we're getting into gifts. Mm-hmm. I have two movies left. One is great. One is not so great. First, the not so great one. In fact, it's not even very good. It's actually kind of a forgettable movie. But the opening scene, I don't know if you ever saw Anderson, Friends with Benefits from 2011 with Justin Timberlake and what's her fucking face, Mila Kunis? Not a great movie.
Yes, I saw that.
You did see it.
Yeah, there was actually something to like about that movie.
It was the opening scene. It was so good.
There was a couple
Andy Samberg
like
and Emma Stone have a cameo. Mm-hmm. It's the only time I see them is in this opening scene. I'm going to play the scene.
It was very self-aware of this movie.
I was worried that the scene might be kind of hard to follow because they cross-cut between two simultaneous breakups. One between Andy Samberg and Mila Kunis, one between Justin Timberlake and Emma Stone. But I think their voices are distinct enough you know who's talking at any one time. So they're going to cross between the two, try and follow, but this is two simultaneous breakups. The opening scene, which is very good, to a not-so-great movie, Friends Benefits.
We need it.
Yeah. Hey.
Hi.
Sorry I'm late.
It's okay. I got us sandwiches. Got you turkey, no cheese, gluten-free bread.
You sure this was prepared in a nut-free facility?
Yes, I'm fully aware of your allergies.
Hey, I'm here. I'm here. I'm really sorry.
We missed Your Body is a Wonderland.
Okay, only one song. That's not so bad, right?
Who's fucking Your Body is a Wonderland?
Well, the good news is he has so many good ones.
Here's an idea. Next time, instead of being late, just shit on my face, because that's kind of the same thing as missing Your Body is a Wonderland. Okay, come on, we really gotta go in. Julie Roberts is about to put on her really tall boots.
We need to talk.
I think we should take a break.
I just feel like we should chill for a while, you know?
You're doing this.
You're breaking up with me?
You said I was your soulmate.
I did? When?
When we were at that bed and breakfast having sex.
But, you know, that doesn't...
That doesn't what?
Count. I was tied up at work. I'm sorry.
Maybe you should care a little bit less about work and a little more about the girl that you're dating. Because last time I checked, work doesn't reassure you that liking a finger up your ass doesn't make you gay.
I never said go up, okay? I just said lightly around. It's like a little button. You know what? Not your issue anymore.
Is this why you were late? You were worried about how to break up with me?
Oh, no.
Former
no,
feature artist in the background.
To wear.
So you want with sneakers and a hoodie?
Yeah.
What, are you going to take the SATs after this?
Lash out, okay? You're better than that.
I'm really not. I just think we're heading in different directions.
Yeah, you to the John Mayer concert and me not. Thank you for doing this before the concert, by the way. Best breakup.
He is the Sheryl Crow of our generation. Let me just ask you a quick question. And just know that I am not at all crushed by this breakup. So be honest. What?
Wait, is this a trick?
Nope. Just pure anthropological research.
Okay. You want someone to sweep you off your feet, but you're more interested in getting swept off your feet than the someone who's doing the sweeping. You seem like you've got it totally together, but you're actually really emotionally damaged. Also, you have, like, really big eyes, and that freaks me out sometimes.
Thank you. It's enough. It is not you at all.
Of course it's me. You can't say that. You're breaking up with me.
It's not. It's me. I don't like you anymore.
This is my fault. You deserve better than me.
You're a great guy. A little too emotionally unavailable, if you ask me.
I didn't.
I really want to stay friends.
How many more friends?
Sure.
Totally.
None more.
I gotta go pee.
The end.
Do you have time?
That's it. Drop it.
There's a lot of words.
John fucking Mayer.
There's a lot of words.
It's a lot of words.
A
great scene from this could have been on my list of top five great scenes from not so great movies. A very well done scene. It's even better if you watch it. Check it on YouTube. They cut back and forth. But,
a lot of cutting around. Yeah, you're right. You can tell the difference in the voices, but still, without the visual, it's very confusing. Mm-hmm. Jumbled.
Yeah, but there's still funny lines.
Speaking of Andy Samberg, the old That's My Boy on one of the Patreon channels a couple days ago. Fucking movie's hilarious.
Really?
Fuck all of you that give me shit.
You think it's hilarious?
That movie's very funny. That's My Boy is a funny movie.
There's a couple good things in there.
I just had it on while I was doing stuff around the house, and I couldn't stop laughing at the stupid shit that was going on in that movie. When they all say, what's up? And then Andy tries it, and he gets nothing. Oh, and the brother is hilarious. He comes in, starts wrestling. He's getting his dick. Keeps hitting his dick before he wrestles. He's got to wake it up. Andy's everybody's like, no, please don't wake it up, buddy. You don't have to wake it up.
Number one for you.
I don't want to do my number one.
Why?
Second to last. I feel like it deserves to be last because it's so controversial.
I want
to
hear your controversy. My number one is so great. I think you even love it.
All right, 1987, Brian. Jonathan Lithgow wasn't mainly known as being a Trinity killer. He was in Raising Kane. Was that Raising Kane? Was that called? Anyways, I grew up knowing him as the dad in Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, yes.
And the Hendersons.
Great breakup scene.
And that is a breakup scene with some sort of woolly mammoth creature of the past.
It's a Sasquatch.
A pre-early man creature. And it is...
Missing Link.
I watched this on YouTube just a couple days ago.
Got a little dusty in the house?
It makes me tear up. Goddamn, it's hard to admit that, but it's true.
A little dusty.
Here's the deal. LaFleur is on his way. He's coming to get Harry and expose Harry for the Bigfoot that he is. And he's been living with the Hendersons throughout the whole movie. I should also
say the town goes.
There's some spoilers here if you have not seen 1987's Harry and the Hendersons. Definite spoilers. It's kind of the climax of the film. Yep. Precipice of the end.
Harry, the town has got fucking Sasquatch fever, and they're all out looking to kill Harry. So literally the Hendersons have been the only ones protecting him from being shot by multiple people in horrible ways.
Yes. And they take him to his natural surroundings, which is the woods, like the High Sierras.
Yep.
And they say, go. And his little face is like, oh, but I love you guys. I don't want to go. And Trinity Killer, John Lithgow, looks at him and says, he actually slaps him across the face.
Oh, you'd have a scene, Austin. Get out of here!
Yeah, and he's so brutal and so mean, and it's so sad because poor Harry doesn't quite
get it.
I
know, poor Harry wants to stick with
the Hendersons. He kind of comes around. He kind of understands what he's doing. He's being mean to him for his own good.
John Lithgow has to be mean to him.
Get the dumb animal to run into the woods, but God damn it.
Doesn't he say something like, get out of here, you're just a big dumb animal or something?
Yeah, you don't belong with us. You belong in the woods. Go to your home. And he runs off. Oh, it's so sad.
So sad. I forgot about that.
God damn it, it's sad. It's the worst breakup, best scene.
I'll give you that. I'm with you on that one.
Harry and the Hendersons breaking up. And I had that one. Ironically, she was a very large woman, too. She didn't like it when I called her large, but she was close to 6 feet tall.
Wow.
This girl. And I used to try and break up with her often, but she was just tenacious. She would just show up at my house the next day, like having tea with my mom. I'm like, what the fuck? We broke up. And she'd be like, no, you're just Harry and the Henderson. I think I told you this a few weeks ago.
You may have.
She used to accuse me of doing that to her, and I'm like, no, for real. I want you to go to the woods.
Go back to your people. Go back to your kind.
There's no LaFleur. There's just me. Fuck you. Get out. Okay. Harry and the Hendersons, number one for me. After you do your one, then I'll come back around with a total non sequitur that has nothing to do with this program or anything we're talking about, and I'm going to talk about the best thing that I've seen since I last saw it.
Save it for a third segment.
This is a third segment.
Save it for the fourth segment.
Brian, we'll do it at the end. Here we go. Do your number one.
Number one for me. Mm-hmm. This is the third segment. Number one for me. I'm pretty sure we've laughed about this scene before, but in a movie that I consider high comedy, the highest of black comedies, I think my number one black comedy, or should have been on the list, but when Patrick Bateman dumps Evelyn Williams in the restaurant in American Psycho, he's starting to crack under the pressure, Anderson, of maintaining a normal facade as he hides his serial-killing nightlife.
This is a good one, Brent.
And the scene begins with him drawing a dead woman's body in a crayon with a fucking chainsaw sticking out of her back on the restaurant's tablecloth.
Mm-hmm.
And this scene in a very crowded restaurant ensues.
Quick question
Reese
for
Witherspoon,
you.
By the way.
For both myself and the listener. How many minutes or quarter hours is this clip?
Quarter hours?
How long?
I don't think it's that long, actually. I tried to get it down to the...
Two minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes. But it's hilarious.
Mm.
It's Patrick Bateman and
you realize 2 minutes is the time of a trailer.
Christian Bale and Reese Witherspoon.
You know when you go see a movie and like another trailer starts up and everyone's like, oh, fuck, 2 more minutes? It's a long time.
Well, this is the best one.
Mm-hmm.
I want a firm commitment.
I think, Evelyn, that we've lost touch.
Why? What's wrong?
My need to engage in homicidal behavior on a massive scale cannot be corrected, but I have no other way to fulfill my needs. We need to talk.
Talk about what, Patrick?
He's cracking.
It's over, Evelyn. It's all over.
Touchy-touchy. I'm sorry I brought up the wedding. Let's just avoid the issue, all right? Now, are we having coffee?
I'm fucking serious. It's fucking over us. This is no joke. I don't think we should see each other anymore.
But your friends are my friends, and my friends are your friends. I really don't think it would work.
Your work, that's great.
You have to let something.
I know that your friends are my friends, and I've thought about that. You can have them.
I imagine you in the
really
scene.
You're serious, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
What about the past? Our past?
We never really shared one.
You're inhuman.
No, I'm in touch with humanity. Evelyn, I'm sorry. I just... You're you're not terribly important to me.
Can you pause it real quick?
No, don't pause it.
No. Pause it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Quick little look at Brian's face is lit up with glee.
I'm in touch with humanity.
A quick little observation. Because he's very British, mm-hmm. Christian Bale, and he sounds like a black 80s comic doing a white guy. Just think about that. Well, it'll enhance it a little bit. But he sounds like a black 80s comic doing a white guy.
I know my behavior can be erratic sometimes.
What do you want me to do? What is it that you want?
If you really want to do something for me, then stop making this scene right now.
Oh, God, I can't do this.
I'm leaving. Assess the situation and
I'm assess the situation,
where
I'm
are you going.
Just leaving.
But where?
I have to return some videotapes.
It's always a videotape.
Cue it down.
Did you read the book?
No, I never read the book.
He's returning videotapes every chapter. Yep. It's fucking hilarious. Always
returning
those videotapes. Yeah, not as much as in that book. Now, that was a real scene. I think that really happened.
What do you mean?
In the movie. Because I think that most of the movie is a fantasy. It's in his head. Mm-hmm. I think most of it did not actually occur. Right. It's just his inner fantasies.
Sure.
It might be his fantasies he's having while he's masturbating. He's a sick dude.
Sure.
Might be his dreams. It might be just something he's daydreaming while sitting at the office. Because they got so much time in their hands. But I think that actually did happen. And he is saying those things. There was some cross-pollination. Yep.
I know my behavior can be a little erratic sometimes. I imagine that your breakup's going that way sometimes.
I don't want to talk
about
that.
Maintain your cool mask of sanity while the girl freaks out.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a cool mask of sanity, Brian. I'm a very sane person. Are we doing Elsa rants here?
Yes.
The best thing I've seen.
Hmm.
Holy shit.
We're going to do Elsa rants. Listener tough.
But we'll get to that. But first, let's just clean it up. Because I promised early on that I was going to pay off the best thing I've seen.
Let's hear it.
The last episode of Vice on HBO.
That is a deep
pull. The season finale.
That's a deep pull.
I just want to talk about it because, you know, it's visual. It's a show.
It's a visual medium.
So it's on a movie pay channel.
Okay.
And it's a Vice.
Home box office.
Huge fan of Vice back. I think I flicked fast the entire season series or something when it was on. You can only get it on its channel. I think that it might stream on Netflix, actually. It was on MTV2. It didn't like that version. Didn't like the cuts of it. Then it was on its own channel, and I watched all of them back to back to back. It was so good. So good. It was like... I equate it to like Jackass with a purpose. Like they go to Chernobyl and get wasted and wander around with like radioactive markers saying about how radioactive the site still is, while just wasted on Russian vodka. Hilarious.
It's good.
The new version on HBO, which I've finally seen and people have been talking about it, good, but it's a little bit too formulaic, a little bit too we're trying to be like real news and just throwing in the word piss here and there. So I had to go take a piss. You know, we're still edgy, but the last episode is one of the best things I've seen, oh God, all year. It was
really?
Only 35 minutes long, and I kept pausing and going, God, I want this to go on further. You heard all about Dennis Rodman going over to North Korea.
Yes, it did.
In the news. And he was going over for this Vice episode, which no one talked about at the time.
Huh.
I don't think they even knew, maybe. They just knew that Dennis Rodman went over there with the Harlem Globetrotters. And what goes on in that episode, if you get a chance, you can send away for it, I think. Vice, very good show, very informative. Very fucking crazy. And it's a new spin and look at the things that are going on in the world. And they're sitting there. I don't even want to say what happens, but it's just unbelievable. The things they allude to it too, but it's like everything that they're seeing in the goddamn country is a Truman Show. Like everything's that they shut down the whole country and put on an act for this group of Americans that come to see North Korea.
Huh.
They just have actors everywhere. Oh my God. They go into this computer lab. And then they notice that no one's actually clicking buttons or typing or anything. They're just pretending.
They're sitting.
One guy's in front of a page that has Google open, but he's not searching for
anything. He's not Googling anything.
He's not Googling anything. But they set it up so that the Americans can see, look, they have free communication and information.
They don't even know what to do with it.
There was one guy in there that was like clicking and stuff, and they talked to that guy. Of course, that's the guy that they talked to. And he's like, I am just looking for my papers. They're on the string theory. They've been published, and I work with Europeans, other European scientists. That's what I'm looking for. I'm like, okay. This is creepy. It was so creepy. It was fucking chilling. Oh, wow. So good.
I gotta see that.
That entire country just has no idea what's going on. It's unbelievable that we live in a world where that shit happens. Vice.
Crazy shit.
Vice.
Also rans.
The hermit country, I believe it's called. The hermit leader.
Also rans?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm surprised no one said, neither of us said Swingers.
Mm-hmm.
There was a great couple of great ones, actually, in The Social Network, the opening scene and also the scene where she lights his shit on fire.
Yeah, Social Network, good one.
Really Clerks.
Good one. In fact, Kendall, who I went out to dinner with or went out to drinks with, Joey Shanks' fiance brought that up. Because I was asking our listeners, I'm like, guys, do you have anything? Breakups?
The Hangover, at the end of The Hangover, when Rachel Harris finally gets dumped by Ed Helms. Mm-hmm. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, there you go. Crazy Stupid Love mm-hmm. had a good breakup scene. Dude. Actually, a couple good breakup scenes.
Both.
Dumb and Dumber. Mm-hmm. I know it was technically one, but you're telling me there's a chance, good stuff. And I came this close to another Reese Witherspoon clip from Legally Blonde. It's a good one there. Mm-hmm. If you're freaks out in a restaurant also.
Number five for me, or actually, no, number five. Also ranks Grease. Almost put Grease in there. Classic and cruel, Brian. When he's like with his friends and she's like, they're not really together. They hadn't seen each other, though, since the summer fling.
He plays cool around.
Yeah, hilarious. Yeah. I would have maybe put it on there. Couldn't find a clip. Happiness opening with John Lovitz, getting his heart broken.
Wow.
This Boy's Life, the end. Classic end. I have This Boy's Life every other episode, it seems. But yeah, De Niro just yelling the classic, "What about me? What about me?" Oh, that's good shit. Hot Rod. And storytelling. I had two Todd Solondz films on there.
Dying to know what's on the Listener Top 5.
Dying?
All right.
I'm anxious.
Literally.
Listeners can participate in the Listener Top 5 by following us on Twitter or Facebook at The Film Vault. Number 5, The Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah.
Brutal breakup. Good one.
Number 4, I didn't agree with this one because there's not a notable breakup scene in it, but 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, there absolutely is a notable breakup scene.
It's pretty much the whole movie is kind of the breakup. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there wasn't like a really good moment where you're like, that was a pretty crappy breakup.
When they were in the restaurant with the pancakes, and he just gets up and leaves.
But
anyway, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just I didn't think it belonged on the top five, but noted as a movie about a breakup. Number 3, Say Anything.
Yeah, I gave her my heart. She gave me a pen.
Mm-hmm. Number 2. Number 2 is more of an honorary mention for High Fidelity. There's a couple breakups in that.
There's a few good ones in there.
Yeah, they were mentioned by all of the different ones were mentioned.
John Cusack's got the kind of face you just want to break up with, right? Mm-hmm.
And the number 1 breakup scene, as voted on by our listeners, is Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
Far and away. And I couldn't forgive myself if I didn't mention one of my favorite movies, The Puffy Chair.
Yeah, you're always saying that. So,
very
you know
real breakup
that
scene.
That continues. If it was organic, it would be very rotten in my queue. Like it would be green and moldy.
Anderson.
It's been in my queue forever.
Do you remember my top 5 worst movie-going experiences? I think my Carano.
I don't remember many.
I mean, my Catherwood, I'm pretty sure. I named my number 1 was when I was fat and I was just out of college. My first girlfriend broke up with me while we were watching a Big Fat Greek Wedding. Uh-huh. And she's like, "I don't think that'll ever be us." And we broke up right there and then. Someone tweeted me as like, "When my choice for your top 5 list is when fat bald Brian was watching the movie with his girlfriend." I was like, ouch, but funny.
That's good, Brian. I'm glad you brought that up.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
it was
good.
A little personal moment there.
It was ouch. It was ouch, but funny.
Hey, if it was in a movie and I could watch it and enjoy it, that kind of reminds me of somebody sent me an email saying, hey, you should redo Top 5 Douchiest Characters after you make your movie and put Brian in any role.
Me!
That's what it said.
I feel like Anderson got mentioned.
That was the email that I got. I
mean, you went through the Facebook nominations. How many people were like, when is Anderson going to make a movie?
Make a movie or be in a movie.
Same.
No, different.
Let's go. Anyway. We're talking about 5 characters.
Let's gamble. Let's fucking gamble this shit.
Yeah, I gotta go.
All right, last week you gambled on Man of Steel. At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 61%, Anderson bid 83%, and Brian 77%. Now, currently the Wednesday after release with, I don't have the reviews, but the Wednesday after release, the Rotten Tomatoes score is 56%.
Why are you upset by that?
I kind of have a movie here to watch.
All right, cool. Come up with one later. Let's go.
Movie.
Let's go.
Okay, I have an idea. Mm. You got to watch. Logan, what are we gambling on?
Something in the theaters, buddy.
World War Z.
World War Z. You got to see World War Z.
All right.
All right, now we're going to gamble on this. We're going to try and predict the Rotten Tomatoes score of this film before either of us have seen it.
Mm. Seen the score. Or the movie.
Or the movie. Right? You haven't seen the movie, have you?
Which movie? We're doing World War Z.
We're gambling
this
on it.
This is why I failed in school, because I have no idea what we're talking about.
We're gambling on it, and that's the movie you have to see.
Okay.
Remember the week you screwed up our gambling with 2 movies?
Yeah. that was awesome. So screwed. Uh-huh.
That was awesome.
Okay, all right. Ah, damn it. No. I don't know anything about this movie. I know the PG-13. That's a big problem. Brad Pitt looks sexy self. Mm-hmm. Dad.
Mm-hmm. Long hair.
He's like a scientist.
slicked back hair.
He's the one that holds the entire future of humanity in his palm.
A lot of helicopters.
Somehow he's the one that has the answers to everything, even though it looks like he's got a shabby apartment.
A lot of helicopters going on.
A shabby apartment, cooking eggs on news breaks.
All right, I'm going smart. What do you got there, buddy?
72%.
What? 53.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All
right. Not feeling too good about this.
High hopes for this movie.
However, here's what I have heard about it. Should have probably disclosed this before. Apparently, they had to reshoot the entire ending.
Fuck, you asshole.
But now it's a lot better.
All right.
That's what I heard.
Thanks for nothing.
That's what I read.
Now, currently the Wednesday before release with 70 reviews.
Oh, God.
World War Z's Rotten Tomato score is 74%.
Fuck me. The goat. You've been reading Rotten Tomatoes, buddy. Is that on your homepage? Go to your house right now, and I turn your computer on, and it makes a little noise. Does that pop up? Rotten Tomatoes? Hello, Brian.
My door's locked. I wouldn't know.
Can't it says, hello, Brian. Welcome to Rotten Tomatoes.
Did you watch preview scores of upcoming movies?
73 is what you said.
72.
And it's 74 right now?
Yeah. Anderson, I've lost much more than I've won.
Hold on. No. What? I think we're like even.
Okay.
Logie, what was last week's... what was it when you said Man of Steel last week?
At the time Brian had 77, it was at 61%.
61, and it's what is it now?
Now it's at 56.
Not much of a drop.
God damn it.
I don't like this 2-0. Okay. All right. Well, that's
gonna,
good.
But you're going to see it, though. Yeah, you're going to see it. Hey, you want to see it together at the theater? I got the gift certificate for it.
Prefer to see
gift
it
certificate?
By myself.
Gift certificate? Gift certificate?
Prefer to see that by myself. Does that have a cash value, that gift certificate?
Oh. Well, I got to talk to you. Remind me to talk to you off air about Kubrick.
What?
Kubrick.
What kind of thing is that? That's like a Mike Carano thing to do.
No, it's off air.
All right, not to shamelessly plug the After Disaster, but I'm not going to go into detail here about my little scuffle and run-in that I documented through Vine. Check out Vine. If you're not on Vine yet, it's time to get on Vine.
Really. It seems like it's dying down now.
What?
Yeah, I don't
For
think...
you, because the guy... Because fucking Logan over here stopped making little animations. There's so many great things for Vine. So you know what?
All right,
one of the greatest
videos.
Things about Vine is like I'm not on Instagram, and I don't have a whole lot of time for Twitter because I can't read good. I don't like to read. Facebook's a fucking ridiculous joke for me. All these people living fake lives. We explored it on a Loveline a couple days ago. And I was thinking, no way to... Like, you know, people have pictures like cars, and they make it seem like they're their cars, but they're not really. Like this virtual bullshit life. Vine is all pretty much real. Like, I mean, you can't do a 6-second fake life video. You know what I mean? Like, you can do funny things, but you can't be like, check out my car, unless you just, you know, get exposed immediately. You know what I mean?
I know exactly.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, what are you talking about?
6 seconds or less, you're not going to be able to make a fake life. You can do that with stills, but you can't really do it with a 6-second moving image.
Hmm.
You can't suggest that things are... And it seems more real, more authentic.
Because you can't edit, so it's hard to hide things.
In-camera editing. I like the Vine. It's fun. And, yeah.
Yeah, fine. Thank you, The Royal Sound, for being our feature artist of the week. And AndersonandBrian.com is where you go to find out more information about them. It's also where you go to comment on all of our episodes, check out every film we discussed, feature artist information, and send us art. We like the artwork. We have some good stuff this week. Very funny. Some funny little in-jokes on there. And, yeah, I don't know the artwork this week. Yes, Dangly Life. That's who did it. And thanks again. Logan, the Save of Prayers coming out?
Monday.
Really?
Should be one on Monday.
Shit, check that out. The After Disaster got mentioned, was this the 9th or 10th time today?
34th.
34th? MissMovies.net? That can't be right. And, MissMovies.net.
Uh-huh.
And, let's see. Until next time.
We do it for Van Gogh!